send somebody out. Here you go. Last time this sounded more... Okay, there it is. You might be. Excuse me for a second. I didn't have this set up. I'm running behind. Today, we're going to consider Jesus' demand for us in humbling ourselves in childlikeness and servanthood. That's the title of this chapter. But before we get into it, I wanted to ask some specific questions, and I'm going to need your assistance again today, like I did last time. And I want some feedback on some of the questions that I have. And the first question, though, I do want your feedback, but I also just want you to really think about the words in the question. Do you consider yourself, pausing for effect, a strong person? Do you consider yourself a resourceful person? Resourceful? Do you consider yourself self-sufficient? Intelligent, self-confident, someone that's in control? Do you consider yourself to be like that? Ben Evans considers himself to be a strong, self-sufficient, in control type of person and resourceful. And that's how I consider myself. Do you consider yourself to be like that? I think most of us, when it comes down to it, we would consider ourselves to be a strong, resourceful, intelligent, thoughtful person down deep. Even though sometimes you hear people say, I'm an idiot, you know. Wouldn't say that unless we really thought that we were intelligent enough to diagnose ourselves as an idiot. So, I want you to consider that question, first of all. And as we go throughout this lesson today, we're going to talk about that a little bit more. What I would like your feedback on, this is a question you can't answer out loud. What is a good working definition of humility? Don't raise your hands all at once. A good definition of humility, okay?
Ready?
Yes.
Not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less.
Not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. I like that. You've given that before, haven't you?
Yes.
Okay, I've written that down before. Does anybody else have anything they want to add to that, or is that pretty much what you want to go with? Well, let me ask you this. What are some specific actions in which humility shows itself? Okay, specifically. The good answer, specifically.
Serving spaghetti sellers.
I don't know if I heard what you said.
Spaghetti.
Well, you know, I mean, it's interesting you bring that concept of it up. Specifically, we say that. That's a real good church answer. Okay? But how do you serve others? In humility. Okay, Bill?
Humbling yourself.
Humbling yourself? How's it in action?
Serving others.
Spaghetti.
Spaghetti. Yes. She said doing things that you're called on to do, even when you don't want to do it. But more than that, just we think of serving others. We think, okay, at church, maybe I'm going to see a need in the to wash dishes after fellowship's over, or to take out the trash, or to pick up plates, or to hold a door. But, I mean, real specifically, I want you to consider how you can serve others, but not only just at church. Were you going to say something? Go ahead. Let's hear it.
I was just thinking of how you do
That's in doing something for someone else that you would want done for yourself. So if we see you doing for somebody else, we know that Kathy wants that. Jace, listen. Okay. I would say that before you can be a good servant at church, that you've got to be a great servant at home. Because really, if you can't do it to those closest to you and your family members and serve them in a spirit of humility, then you're not going to be able to do it in the fellowship. And more importantly, just as important, is serving in your community. When I say serving in your community, piggyback what we talked about during the lesson, serving at work. People see you as a servant at work. People see you serving in humility. There's no job that's too high too low for me, that I'm too much high above to perform that task. And not just even at work, but even at home when you're in your neighborhood. I remember there was when they first put Don Tyson Parkway in front of our house, there's a barbed wire fence down that stretch of highway, and there was a Walmart neighborhood market built not long after. And somehow that barbed wire fence caught every Walmart bag that came out of the store. That's how it appeared anyway. Y'all remember that? You just drive down the road and it's just, the barbed wire fence was littered with plastic bags. And so many times I thought, you know, it'd be so easy to get out on Saturday morning and go pick up all those bags off the barbed wire fence. I never did it. I even told Ashley it'd be a good idea, but somebody did do it because they're not there anymore. Maybe it was a city worker. But it shouldn't be too big of a job for even me to do. So serving others in humility, but not just at church, but starting at home and serving our children, serving our spouses, serving our parents, serving our brothers and sisters, and then at church, and then even at work and at the store. And today we're going to talk of one thing that wasn't said in serving others is just simply sharing the gospel with others. That's a way, sharing life with others. That's every time you share a piece of the gospel, or you share a piece of scripture to a brother or sister in Christ, you are serving them in humility. We're going to talk about that more and how that works. And we're called to childlike humility. And I want to know real quick, what do you consider childlike humility? And I do have the right answer, but I think that was a proud way to say it, wasn't it? What is childlike humility? Have you considered it? Okay, we'll get into it more. Last question I have, and this is a perplexing question. Y'all, I was told this past week by Miss Pat about the preacher who got the button from his congregation that said he was humble, and they took it away the first time he wore it. Isn't that the way it goes? This is a question I want you to consider. Is absolute humility a gift beyond our reach? Is humility a gift beyond your reach? Contemplate that question, and we'll answer that at the end. Now, and prior to this lesson is Jesus' demand to make war on pride, and really we're going to look at humility in two different facets. Brett's going to be dealing with that, and I believe in 2 weeks he'll be dealing with that, but that is best illustrated in Luke chapter 18, where Jesus talks about the publican and the tax collector, and the Pharisee and the publican, I'm sorry. The tax collector, it says, stood afar off, and he was praying, and he was unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, and he was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, y'all, you're familiar with the story, that man went home justified. And that is humility. That's making war on pride, but it doesn't end there. The key to humility is not just the absence of merit. So in other words, the key to humility is not just saying, I'm not worthy of the gift, but it's also, humility is also the presence of free grace. And that's what this lesson is really about. The role that humility plays in our life. So humility being played out. So not just say I'm not deserving of anything, but to go on for that humility to be manifest in our life by the way we act. And Jesus gave us two ways, and we're going to look at those two ways in depth, of how that humility demonstrates itself. Now, I'm going to pause for a minute, and I'm going to quote Spurgeon, not exactly, but Spurgeon And what did I say? Did I say squogen? Yeah.
I didn't know squogen.
Squogen predated Spurgeon. Okay. Spurgeon. And he said, you'll see what Ashley has to deal with all the time. He was talking about the, and I think we're very, I'm guilty of this. We get to a point where we do see ourselves as pitiful beings before God and completely undeserving and have no merit on our own. That's, we get to that point. And many times I think we just stay at that point. And we forget to say, okay, but what about free grace and who I am now in Christ? And it's important to remember that point and remember the fact that we do have no merit on our own to proclaim anything before God except the righteousness of Christ and His righteous robes. And the truth is, that's what He's given us. And when the prodigal son came home, you remember the father came out, put a ring on his finger, put sandals on his feet, and put a robe around him. And so let us remember that even these gifts that we're talking about, even humility, there's a way that it manifests itself in living out in our lives as we live as children of the King. So it's not only the servant who says, I'm an unworthy servant, but humility is also, point number one, is also like a child at rest in his father's arms. And we're going to talk a little bit about that child and having childlike humility. First, we're going to read Matthew chapter 18, verses 3 through 6. If you will, turn there with me. Matthew chapter 18, verses 3 through 6. We're going to look at this first, what Jesus talked about humility. Okay, who wants to read those verses for me? Okay, Jace. Yes, sir. You can start at 2.
And he called the child himself and set before him.
I muted it earlier. I missed it. Where was I? A very good friend of mine who we were talking, and he is a good guy. He really is. But we were talking about, we started talking about the gospel in church. And, you know, I made the, and Muslims, and Jews, and Mormons. That's what we were talking about. It was a very brief conversation. And I said, well, you know, you sum it all up. I don't care how good someone is. Jesus is the exclusive way to God. Point blank, that's it. You know, that's what Jesus said. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He said, man, that's a really arrogant statement. You know, that's really a prideful, arrogant statement. And that's pretty much the normal feeling of people in today's day and age. My question to you, is that a arrogant line of thought to say, you know what, there's no other way? This is it? Or in truth, is that one of the greatest forms of humility? If you think about it, one of the things we have the toughest time doing, maybe, is sharing the gospel with complete strangers, maybe even with our own family members and our best friends. And yet, that's what Jesus has called us to do. And what does it take to share the gospel? Laying down your pride? Talk about the greatness of Christ. Yes.
A friend of mine tells a story that whenever he was traveling, he was looking out the window and there's this really huge airplanes out there. And this guy in front of him says, that's a 747. The guy beside him goes, wow. And it's not a 747. And my friend knows this. And he could have, you know, said, no, that's not a 747. That's a ES whatever it was. But he chose.
Thank you for that. And that's exactly in the gospel, and that's one of the points I'm about to make, is not contentious. We don't talk about the gospel to win debates with people. We talk about gospel again because we defined service as loving others enough to give them the truth and serve them no matter what it cost us for their own eternal benefit. And that's what we're doing when we share the gospel, when we plant those gospel seeds. And it's pride that holds us back. It's pride that says, you know what, they don't need to hear it this time. So we should humble ourselves and be ready to share the gospel. Now, Piper calls this bold truth-telling. Broken-hearted, bold truth-telling, which I thought was a pretty meaty phrase. But if you think through it, again, having a broken heart towards other people, and then being bold, not because of who we are, because of the message that we're sharing, because it's a bold message, and telling the truth to other people. One of the greatest acts of service you can do for somebody is tell them the truth, don't you think? Being honest with them. And so telling the truth to others. And he does say there's five implications of bold truth telling. First of all, humility begins with subordination to Christ. Jesus said, you know, in Matthew chapter 10, I'm just going to read it for word instead of trying to summarize it. I don't want to misquote Jesus. In Matthew chapter 10, I don't mind misquoting Spurgeon, or whatever I called him. Yes. 10:24, Jesus says, the disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. So first of all, when we're telling the truth to others, when we're claiming the gospel, remember, humility begins with subordination to Christ. Second of all, Jesus said, he told his disciples, he talked about how they treated him, and they claimed, you're from Satan. You're just serving your master Beelzebub. And Jesus turned his disciples and he said, if they treated me like this, they're going to treat you like this. And so, humility doesn't feel a right to better treatment than what Jesus got. So if you're going to tell the truth to people and tell the gospel, expect that you're going to get the same treatment that Jesus got. Second of all, true humility doesn't debate, but it speaks truth in love. It's seeking to love other people. True humility is dependent on grace. There's nothing cocky and there's nothing timid about bold truth-telling in humility. But in John 15:5, Jesus made the proclamation to us, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So we're dependent on Jesus to even give us a message to share with someone. And finally, humility does know that it's fallible, and so considers criticism from others and takes it under consideration. So we see here, wrapping up, I'm done a little bit early. Humility is a practice that is childlike, has no resources on its own, but dependent on our Heavenly Father, and is comfortable there. It is not self-sufficient. And second of all, that serves others like we've been served. Again, the phrase that spoke so much to me, how can you do the greatest good for other people who need your help, either for a temporal or eternal benefit, no matter what it costs you? How can you do that? I asked earlier, is humility a gift beyond our reach? And that's a pretty perplexing question, because if you can reach humility, then haven't you accomplished something to be proud of? But humility is one of those interesting things that's rooted in all the other gifts. If you think about repentance, or all the other traits that are the demands that Jesus gives us, you think of living a carefree life and not being anxious over anything. You just go down the list. Humility is part of all of those. And it's nothing that we can reach for and instantly be proud of. It's nothing that we can renounce. As soon as we renounce humility, again, we've accomplished something. And we have something to be proud of. But true humility is only found in childlike enamor and service to the King. True humility is only found in childlike enamor in service of the King. To those he created, to our brothers and sisters in Christ, to our family, to those that we work with. And may we proclaim the gospel to them in the greatest act of humility. And we see that that's just repeating what the greatest act of humility has been, and that's our Creator coming and dying for us, and paying the ransom for many. Now with that thought, I have one other question for you, one other consideration since we're done early. I didn't work this in, but it's worth thinking about. Does anybody know who the Bible says the most humble man in all the earth was? Somebody whispered, Moses. Did y'all know that? I think most of y'all knew that. The food's getting the better part of you. Think about Moses' position. What did Moses do? First of all, he was probably a very well-educated person. You think about it, he was raised by the Pharaoh, one of the greatest kings today. Probably weren't very many things withheld from Moses growing up, okay? And we see that at 40 is when he fled Egypt. I'm just 30. He was 25% older than me. Did I do my... No, 33 and a third percent older than me. Is that right, Mr. Accountant? You know, and he lived up to that stage of his life in the king's house, okay? And then he fled Egypt, and he went and he became a sheep herder. And then he came back, and think about this. When he came back to Egypt at 80, what did he do? That's pretty amazing that he led over a million people out of Egypt. But more amazing than that is that God performed some of the greatest acts that we read about in the Old Testament through Moses. I mean, can you imagine having a stick that would turn into a snake? Now, that's something to be proud of. And then he leads all of these people out of Egypt. The Bible says he was the most humble man in all the earth. But really think about how terrible his job must have really been. I'm serious. Here's a man that basically was a picture in many ways of who Christ is in his service to us. And he basically stood in between God and the people of Israel. God basically gave Moses the Ten Commandments and the law, what they were going to do. Moses comes down the mountain, and all of Israel says, "We can't look at you. You need to cover up your face." Can you imagine having that position and all the burden and all the weights that carry? And you talk about somebody who has no more resources in themselves and someone who's doing good for others no matter what it costs them. At one point, God told, God said, "I'm going to make a great nation out of you. I'll just take them out of the picture. We'll make a great nation out of you." You remember that? And what did Moses... No. This is your plan. These are your people. And consider Moses this afternoon as you think about these thoughts on humility and childlike service and how your what your heart is towards others. Yes, Kathy. I thought you were gonna. It's interesting to me that you're exactly right, and like even in my own little example, which is very very small, in myself and working in the nursery, it was a matter of being very stubborn and prideful and thinking, "Gosh, why am I doing this and taking care of everybody else's kids?" And there's so many issues of pride that I had. I mean, I even said to myself, "Gosh, I sit in church with my four kids. Why can't other people do that? I'm a good parent." I mean, that's my heart, you know. That was my heart in it. And when I'm doing the nursery, all my kids come to the nursery. I'm like, you know, I'm not able to teach my kids how to sit in church, but it's a matter of pride because I still can teach my kids, and I can still learn from my kids on Sunday morning. And so there are so many lessons that we have to learn. And let me tell you, when we're learning humility, it's a very difficult thing I can't imagine having to take a 40-year course in the desert with a bunch of sheep doing it. But that was, that's Moses did do that. Yeah. Well, and that's the most interesting thing about humility, is that's not the one thing you can say, I'm going to grasp this, like we said, but it's in obedience in every facet. Even this morning, we talked about being a good employee or a good employer. You know, you can't do either one of those things without being obedient. And what else? Humble. You can't, because if you already think you're the best employee, you know, one call in 1 Peter in chapter 5, and one of my favorite verses, we're called to humble ourselves. Peter writes, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at the proper time. And it's interesting that verse 7 is paired with verse 6, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Doesn't that sound so much like a child? And then you're able to serve like a servant. Any other thoughts? That was some good thoughts. Yes.
I was thinking childlike humility, that's very complicated. But it makes me think, being a new Christian, you know, and when you come to Christ, you're just in awe. I mean, you're totally helpless, really. You don't know a thing about anything. You just trust in him to divide. And he teaches us, I think, to be humble, because there's no, because we're prideful.
It was tough this morning for me. After reading through this and studying this, and coming to church, there were so many times this morning that everybody ought to have to teach a lesson on Sunday about humility. On church, and you're like, oh, there's pride. Makes it easier to smell. What were you going
to
say? I think that, what are you afraid of? If you think about what are you afraid of, you're afraid that something, people might not like me. That's rooted in pride. I'm afraid I'll get embarrassed. That's prideful. So whatever you're afraid of, that one thing could go back to pride. True humility says, this may cost me everything, but I'm going to do it. Now, I'm not the best at doing that, but it sounds really good. What were you going to say, Ed? What are your thoughts on that question?
I would concur with you.
Well, concurrently.
I was elsewhere in my head.
So. Oh. What other thoughts? We've just got just a few more minutes. Don't tell people. No, go ahead.
Probably, yeah. Donald Trump told that girl to not tell anybody that she was tough, because if you tell people you're tough, they're probably not. So if you're telling yourself that you're humble, you're probably not.
Yeah, I was. Go ahead.
Well, I just on that note, one of the things that I was thinking through, I'd gone to the question, who is the humblest man on earth, and I immediately went to Philippians 2, some man. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
it's interesting the connection that Jesus gave in humility and dealing with children. It's almost like every time he talked about humility, you know, I showed you several times. He had a child, put him up on his lap, said, become like a child. And I'd say that the charge going from today is not to go and be humble. Right? We're going to make t-shirts, proud to be humble.
Excellent.
Well, you like that? No, but the charge isn't to go and be humble. The charge is to go and be like a child. And not that, you know, a child says, hey, I'm a child, I go get to play, whoopee. But a child in that my Heavenly Father is going to provide for me and take care of me. There's a lot of free grace here on me now. And then second of all, I'm going to serve others, no matter what it costs me, to benefit their temporal life and their eternal life. And so that's the challenge as we leave here today. So cast all your anxieties and your cares on Him. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will lift you up. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this time that we've had together to encourage one another and to look at your word and to look at the words that Jesus gave us and for the example that He set and continues to set even now by hearing our prayers and being our advocate. Father, pray that we might know childlike brokenness, humility, and Lord, that we also might be servants to others for your name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.